The recording of January 23rd, 2019, regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 4:00 P.M. in the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
Back. Welcome back, everyone. Seems like it was a good long break. I think everyone needed. Now we're back. New year, I've got lots to do. How about the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We'll do a little roll call. Susan, do we have anybody on the phone?
Oh, no.
We have Susan on video. And Jim's on video.
Hello, Harold Hollis signing on.
Hi, Harold.
Okay. All right. In the room, we have Director Crawford, Director Morris, Director Park, and myself. And on video conference, we have Director Reeves, Director Henderson, and on the telephone, we have Director Hollis. So we actually have a full suite, not a full house necessarily, but everybody is accounted for. Okay, and we have 15 minutes.
All right, while we wait for that slide to get pulled up, I can get started on the safety minute, which we can see from the agenda is titled, What Can We Learn from Backcountry Safety? And this title resonated with me, had a personal touch. My daughter came home from college and she said, hey, I want to be a backcountry skier. And the reason she wants to be a backcountry skier is because her boyfriend does it. I'm like, all right, I get that. And so, as a parent, and from a safety angle, it's not like I'm just going to go, hey, go forth and chase your dreams. I says, okay, we're going to have a little bit of talk about what it takes to be safe in the backcountry. But as I went through the progressions, it reminded me, you can follow this model for any of your curricular activities. It has a risk to it. You can ask the same questions and whatnot. So if we turn to page 2, this is the questions and the things that I went through with my daughter. A lot of these same questions I went through when I started as a motorcyclist at age 40, so the same parallels are there, so I'll go through these 5 things. So safety begins with awareness. Take a class and get smart. In fact, when the guy who my daughter bought her skis from showed up at Hertz Pizza, he brought him inside the pizza place and he handed it to her, the first thing out of his mouth was, take a class. And what that showed me is in the Avalanche community of backcountry skiers, he wasn't going to let those skis go to someone else without saying, hey, you need to take a class, and safety starts just with your level 1 avalanche class. So that's pretty cool that he planted that seed with Audrey without me having to. So I'm looking at her and go, take a class, take a class. Likewise, when I was a motorcyclist, the first thing I did in motorcycle 101 when I got my license is I took a 3-day class to get my brain fired up on what it takes. Number 2, pre-trip planning. Anyone who is a backcountry skier knows that safety also includes planning your trip and understanding the forecast. And are you skiing at Hatcher Pass? Are you skiing in Turnagain? What's the snowpack doing? What's the snow report? So if you're not doing pre-trip planning when you are skiing in the backcountry, you're definitely setting yourself up for some risk and not following this process. Likewise, as a motorcyclist, when I rode, I did pre-trip planning. When I went to ride to Alaska from Minnesota, I looked at where I was riding, what the roads were like, what the weather was going to be like, and all that type of stuff. Number 3, most importantly, I really like this bullet. Understand your risk profile, it can happen. And so what that really means is, and this is what Audrey has to realize, is backcountry skiing comes with a risk, and you have to understand that risk, and it's a sliding scale of risk. And you have to know where you're at in that profile of risk. So if you're a low-profile, low-risk skier, you might ski the lowest elevation stuff possible where the risk of an avalanche is almost zero. There's a lot of skiers that I ski with that know that choose to be in the middle of that risk to chase the pattern. That's a sliding scale. That profile changes, their risk changes. So it's really important to know where you're at. Likewise with me as a motorcyclist, my highest risk profile is when I chose to ride with my friends versus riding by myself, and so I had to understand where I was at in that. And then that risk changes and how you adapt to it and how you respond to it and whether, in fact, you even accept it. Next to the bottom, importance of safety equipment. So to be a backcountry skier, I think we all know that at a minimum that I'm going to have to buy Audrey a shovel, a beacon, maybe if I really want to wrap it up, an Abbey bag, and a probe to really be out there. And Taylor, who backcountry skis, he'll tell me, you can tell a lot about someone when they go, hey, I'm going backcountry skiing, and the first thing you say is, hey, you got your kit, and they go, what kit? Well, that's not the person you want to ski with, because that's the person who you may depend on to rescue you should things go awry. And last but not least, on the bottom, need to learn by doing. You know very little about avalanches and the terrain on day one. More experienced people have skied for decades and have a wealth of experience. But I'll end with this caution. Just because we have a lot of experience, a lot of practice, doesn't mean that we aren't susceptible to making bad decisions. I think we all have heard stories of people who have skied for years, ridden motorcycle for years, fished in the Kenai for years, and then for one day made some really bad choices. So the practice goes a long way, but it's not the end all as well. So with that said, again, the lesson here is there's a model to follow for a lot of these things. It goes through those six steps to be safe. So with that said, that's the topic. Questions or comments or thoughts?
It's a great topic since I've been in an avalanche. So it's good. Do take a class. I've done it.
Excellent.
Full classes. And it still didn't stop, you know, an avalanche from happening. Just know your risk.
Exactly. So when you were caught in the avalanche, were you actually, how deep were you buried?
I wasn't buried. I was able to sort of ski dive out and hit base layer that wasn't sliding, and the avalanche was probably 600 feet wide, went probably 1,200 vertical feet. And at the bottom, you could have buried D9 cap. It was big.
Yep. So definitely a feedback process in those events. You know the risk is real, but the risk can be managed as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, catch first.
Okay. We are now going to move on to approval of the agenda.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the agenda as it reads? Tonight, there's lots of stuff on this agenda.
Madam Chair, under CEO reports and correspondence, I just want to talk a little bit about, we had a meeting with MLMP employees yesterday, so I'll just kind of highlight that for you.
Add that, okay. Any others? Okay. All those in favor of approving the agenda with the addition of the MLC CEO, CEO reports and correspondence, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
The agenda passes. All right.
I don't think
there are any. We did it. And seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Is there a motion for the consent agenda?
Move to approve.
Okay, any discussion? I did want to ask a little bit about, there's, you'll see some strategic planning dates on here for the spring and for the fall. And then board training for mergers and acquisitions is not scheduled at this time. So under the board calendar, probably need to have a little discussion. Okay.
I think the April date didn't work for Stewart. And the August dates don't work for Harry.
I'm trying to.
And so I don't know what everybody else's calendar looks like, but but we need to either cancel them and remove them from the calendar. So
we can't see what you're looking at on the phone, and I can't. Can I just go back and look at what's on?
We're just looking at the agenda. We're on the consent agenda.
We're actually on the board calendar.
I know, but I can't. I have to jump over to the other thing to be able to see anything. All I can see is what's on your screen there. So I have to go over
to the board calendar. Up.
Yeah.
That would be good. Or the agenda.
I'm clarifying that. I don't think I have a conflict in April.
In April?
Yeah. And you said that, and I've been struggling trying to remember what I had said.
I just need to know what you guys want to do.
Okay, so there was some talk that maybe we should have a bit of a discussion about whether we actually want both a spring and a fall strategic planning session. And if so, what are those dates? And are these dates that are proposed acceptable? And can we wrap into that discussion the merger and acquisitions? Because I think we might, if we're going to make use of that training, it seems like earlier rather than later, better, and so maybe we can discuss all of it at once.
Sure.
Yeah, how long is that training? Is it a one-day training?
Sure, wasn't that something that you were bringing in, the training on mergers and acquisitions? It wasn't a funny.
It's not, is it going to cover how to put a merger and acquisition, you know, together after it happens? Because it's a little too late, like, isn't it?
I believe
that's what I would.
Are we going to benefit from that at this point?
This is a recommendation, though, right, from our auditor that we use it as we go through to prepare us for the process of merging after the acquisition.
Is it a one-day deal? Do we know enough about it?
Okay.
But it's not, you know,
who recommended we have this?
There's nothing on the schedule for it right now. Okay. And so what they're asking is whether or not we could wrap it into the spring or fall strategic planning.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, that might be.
So it would be April 25th and 26th. It would be that time?
If that works for everybody.
Well, I would agree with Bettina. I think Bettina was saying, why don't we do the board training then and do it in Anchorage? And
yeah, if that works for everybody, and then the discussion is, if those dates are not a conflict, we'll keep them on the calendar, and if you've got a conflict after this meeting, please let Connie know, like, immediately, and we'll plan to do that mergers and acquisitions training sooner than later. I think that would be good. And then do we want to do both a spring and a fall strategic planning session?
So okay. The next one is August
28th through the
30th.
I know that I won't be here unless I break a leg or something. And then I won't want to
come. So
So the week before that is the APA annual meeting, and that's in Juneau. We can't go. I actually have Lee out the 25th through the 27th for the G&T managers meeting because he's not going to be able to make the spring meeting, and I usually like for him to hit one of those meetings in the year, so I've got him go into the fall meeting. So either we go earlier in August or we look at September date, but then I lose you half of September. So we can either do something after Labor Day or earlier in August.
I'll be gone for 2 weeks.
Okay, so you're out when now?
The last week of August, the first week of September.
25th, okay.
I believe I'm out the first part of August.
That's why we're talking about this.
I'm available any of those times, but after Labor Day seems like a good plan. It might be cheaper to go somewhere then.
Well, after Labor Day isn't going to work because I'm missing Stuart, I'm missing Harry, and then I'm going to then I'm going to lose Bettina.
Is anybody actually going to the? Well, what else is in there? I see. What are the options? I'm sorry, I'm trying to follow here.
So, all right. So Crawford's going to be out 8/25 through 9/8, correct? So we could look at something 11, 12, and 13. Stuart, you're out the first week of September.
Yeah, it's tentative right now, but I'm sure.
So if we knew, if we looked at 11, 12, and 13 of September, how does that look for everybody?
Looks fine to me.
Susan, September 11, 12, or 13?
Fine by me.
Jim?
Director Henderson?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm sitting here looking at the calendar. I'm not going to go with the Gettysburg thing in the first one here in a couple of weeks, April, I think. Because
that's the one you're scheduled to go to.
It's crammed in there. So I'm looking at the one, and there's one in September, and there's one in October, and I'm trying to see the September date, but I'm not seeing it right the minute. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jim, if you're going to change that, I need to let NRECA know, because right now all of your registration fees are set for that April session. So why don't you give me a call tomorrow?
Yeah, fine, perfect.
So what I'm hearing is it sounds like we would like to have a strategic planning session in the fall as well, so... can we tentatively put the 11th, 12th, and 13th and try to work around it? Yeah? Okay.
In town or out of town?
I say we do it in town.
Sometimes it's in town. In town or in home.
I think in town, but off site here.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. All right. So then we have training and conferences. And we have the, Jim, you'll get with Connie on your Gettysburg leadership experience, and then the NRECA Legislative Conference. I thought maybe we were going to take that off, Connie.
We did. We took it off in lieu of the APA one.
There's an APA conference in D.C. coming up in June. So with that.
Breaking that from the calendar?
Mm-hmm. With that, is there any further?
I think the legislative conference, the NRECA legislative conference, is also the CFC director's meeting, is it not?
Well, I'll have Connie take a look at it, and if that's the case, and there's somebody interested in going, we can leave it on there. But is there any further discussion on the consent agenda?
Madam Chair, this is Harold.
Hi, Harold.
Regarding the September dates that were mentioned, that 11, 12, 13th, I would not be available for that time period.
Oh.
I think the other dates were fine with me.
All right, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board then, I think, and Connie will propose something around the earlier August, or try to squeeze something in there between the 8th and the 19th, I think, in September.
Okay. Can everybody look for, like, August 7, 8, and 9?
August certainly works better for me.
That's the week I'm supposed to be out, is 4th through 10th. 14, 15,
16, August.
Stay with me.
Bye, honey.
Susan, Harold, Jim?
14, 15, 16, August?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Of course, I qualify, assuming that I'm elected to the board.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're going to go with, 14, 15, 16 of August. Everybody has to have a calendar.
I think you're crowding August. You filled up 3 weeks of August.
Well, not everybody has to go to the APA meeting. We all have to be at the training and the strategic planning, so. Just a comment.
Okay, the strategic planning that's listed on the 28th, 29th, and 30th, that's not on there because you're taking it off for Harry. You're trying to move it to the 13th, 14th, and 15th.
You're right.
Are we going to run with that for now? Can we just have the dates again?
August 14th, 15th, 16th. We don't have to have 3 days. I'm just grabbing 3 days right now. So it's August 14th, 15th, and 16th in town, off-site.
I'm going to ask one question. Would it be possible to do it on like the 16th, 17th of September or the 18th, 19th, 20th of September, a two-day meeting?
I'm out the night.
Around our board meeting?
No, because I don't have Bettina.
I know.
And I won't have to do it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Bettina's not here. That
neither is Stuart.
I can do it before board meeting, but not after.
Everybody good?
Did you say you have no capacity to do it on the 16th, 17th, 19th, 20th of September? Is that correct?
Yeah, do the 19th and 20th, but I could do it before 16th, 17th.
Just a question.
I'm going to have to leave for my board meeting.
Yeah, that would be good. All the room's fine.
All right, guys, what are we doing?
August seems to work for everybody, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Let's put it in there. All right. Okay. So, strategic planning dates, April 25th and 26th, we will do board training, mergers and acquisitions as part of that. And then the fall board retreat in town, off site, August 14th, 15th, and 16th, tentatively. So, is there any other discussion? Hearing none.
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. Do you have something?
Can you explain, please help me understand, since the merger and acquisition is over, what we'll gain by the briefing at this point?
Sounded like it was KPMG recommended training for us. The audit finance.
I understand that. Again, the question is, what do you think we'll gain?
So it came out of a discussion with Beth. And she recommended when we ask what else can we do to prepare and do our due diligence as board members, she said, well, there is this training that I would highly recommend, and she knows where we are in the art of this field. She said, I would recommend that you do this training. I can get you the information on it, which we don't have right now. We've had a million things going on. And she said, I highly recommend that the board go through this training, and that will help you do your due diligence. So it's been recommended to us by our auditor at this point in time.
The question was, what do you think we'll gain?
I'm not sure any of us can answer that at this juncture. So maybe what we should do is we should get the information on the training and take a look-see at what the training is, maybe have a little discussion with Beth again, knowing that she understands where we are in the process and what she thinks we'll gain from that.
We can get something from Beth, get a course syllabus, and put something together for at the latest the next board meeting.
That would be great, and then we'll take that. Okay, does that work for you, Jim?
It's fine.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second for approval of the consent agenda. There's no other discussion. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
The consent agenda passes unanimously. Okay. We are going to move on to CEO reports and correspondence. First up is, well.
So, Tyler, do you want to kind of walk through the
statistics?
We had a excellent year for safety.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, another good year. Continuing in the trend of good years that we've had since about the last 6 years. The first part talks about our notable events and training. You see our training compliance on the next slide. So everybody's in the green, getting their stuff done. Recordable incident rate. That's the next slide. We continue to be below our own five-year average and the national five-year average, and far below the Alaska five-year average. I think this shows that our employees have gotten the message, and they continue to work hard at being safe. Next slide is the incident rate broken down by work groups. And I have to really shout out operations. Had a really terrific year. It is rare to see them in the 2.0 area. There, that's the second grouping, the short green there. So that's really terrific. They are well below their five-year average. So really outstanding from the operations group in spite of a significant lost time in January. Okay, next slide. You see our rolling average. We're seeing a slight increase there over the 12-month period. Well within our control limits, well below the 3, which is the upper control limit. Of course, we'd like to be lower. I think part of the story we need to look at there, though, is what's driving that. You have one significant lost time last year. The rest of them are soft tissue injuries and those types of things that are pretty hard to prevent. Probably have a lot more to do with the person's age and those kinds of factors rather than somebody not following a safety policy, not following safe work rules or using the right equipment. Next slide, please. See our lost time year to date. Again, we're below our own average, right at it, actually, and below the Alaska average, too. So I think that's showing still strong performance on the lost time. That's primarily driven by that one significant accident we had early last year. You can see on the lost time, next slide, please. Work groups down in all categories against the five-year average slightly. So that's very positive. Next slide, please. And again, here we are at the rolling. Correction there. Then the next page, just to kind of give you the context of our long-term performance, the trend is still down. Seeing a slight increase there at the end of this year. But again, we have to look at what kind of injuries those were. And in the incident rate, which is the blue line, the majority of those are soft tissue types and very difficult to prevent. Remembering that every incident gets investigated, everything gets communicated, and we continue to work on keeping that down. The other thing I would say is we are now in that, because our trend has been continuing downward for many years, we're getting in that spot now where big gains are going to be very hard to get. Now we're in the spot where just a couple of injuries can really move the number upward pretty quickly. So when you get into the more excellent phase of performance, we're in the harder spot where it's harder to maintain that. Next slide. As far as preventables go, we're measuring one preventable last year. And next slide. You can see, most of that lost time there is driven by the one significant January event. We're still working towards returning that person to work. That's about it. I think that if I could just kind of speak to the slide 9, the over Sherry's got some information that tells us that that continues to not only benefit our employees, because we have less people getting hurt over many years now, but we're also reaping some financial benefit with that.
Yeah, so we do an actuarial analysis every 6 months that determines what our liability should be for the current open claims and future claims. And we saw a reduction due to the total claims going down, severity of the claims going down, and our experience ratio. We're going to see a positive decrease in that liability by approximately $400,000. So you'll see that impact the year-end results.
I think that's a terrific story. If you do the right things for the employees, then you can let the dollars follow you. Any questions, comments, concerns? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I guess as recognition, the employees did receive a gift card for $100.
Good news? The next thing.
Okay, so we have the member attitude survey, and Julie, you want to kind of walk through the results, which were, again, the best results we've had in quite a few years. So, good news.
So if you can, I would go to the memo, because I kind of tried to highlight the key findings. The memo is back at the beginning here. So our overall positive rating was 91%, which is the best score that Chugach has had in 23 years of tracking. And we're actually a little bit better because in 2013, where we also had a 91, we had a 6% negative, and this time we only had a 3% negative. So, and then if you continue to, I like the fact that NSTAR got a 78% positive, so our 91, we assume they're all the same members, right? If you're an NSTAR customer, you're a Chugach customer. They all have to buy their gas. So that would be the closest comparison that our members at least know their experience with NSTAR. Reliability being the most important for our members still. I also really like the fact that of the 182 members who said they had contacted Chugach by lobby phone or website in the past year, 92.5% were very or somewhat satisfied with their response. And that corresponds with those transactional surveys that you see from Teresa over time, where we ask folks right after their experience, and those are always in the real high percentages as well. So I don't know if you have any other specifics. If you remember, John Tracy has told us all that companies spend years and lots of money on their images and their branding, and they never did in the 90s. So kind of like the safety statistics were really high, and improvements are difficult to get. So I hope everyone's happy with the 91%. That's really awesome overall positive rating.
So why do you think it jumped so high?
Well, so last year we were an 86, which is still pretty darn good. And I was going back and looking at my notes, at the time Helen Saul attributed it somewhat to we were more in that recession, and that people are generally more negative when they get pulls in a recession than they are when they're starting to feel better about their economy and their overall quality of life. And also, we've been in the news a lot in the past year with the acquisition, and it's all, for the most part, been positive. The reliability, our outages have been short and not that many. So I think we just had a good year with what we're doing, customer service, the outages. And the press that we got was largely around the merger, and, you know, 65% of the voters said they want to do it.
I think maybe the earthquake, too, because we had, you know, a pretty good-sized earthquake event, and we had just about all of our customers restored in a very short period of time, and I think people felt good that we could have that kind of event, but we still
had
the power on fairly quickly. So I think that could have had some impact as well.
The earthquake was right around the time of the survey, so I think we got a lot of good love in there, too. So, so great results, and I think everyone should feel happy and good about that. Any questions?
But we won't rest on our laurels.
Oh, no. We have a big year ahead of us.
Yeah.
So, that's great. All right. If there's nothing else, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Sherry, on the November financials, we again were challenged with, you know, a warm season, probably the warmest November we've had in a long time, and so our sales reflected that, and so we're at, you know, we are below what we anticipated for margins, and I don't know, Sherry, do you want to walk through the specifics?
Below where we were in the budget, below where we were this time last year, as you can see from that, probably the most significant side is the sales side. You want to move to that, Davina? Right there, you can see the light blue is the 2019 budget, and the dark blue is where we came in year-to-date for 2019. So you can see one of the warmest and impactful, definitely. But having said that, we did continue to manage expenses. We did come within $250,000 given that margin, though I won't sugarcoat it. We have been managing it all year. You know it's been a challenge for us. And I do have some updates I'll talk to you about under financial matters in executive session.
Okay. So, can you...
Chair, this is Jim.
Go ahead, Director Henderson.
Yeah, Lee, how much of our budget is variable in a percentage? And, I know the explanation is, you know, that there was no sales. But how do we ameliorate these changes that, I mean, is there some way we can control some of it more than we're seeing, because we're really reducing our tiers and literally nothing, and in our MFI ORI we're marginal areas, and what can we do? And I'm asking, I looked over this and I see it, but it doesn't give me comfort.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Director Henderson, and I think what we've done to look at this is, number one, we've taken a very conservative look at our budgets for sales going forward, and I think the other big thing we're looking at is by raising our tier from a 1.35 to a 1.55, it gives us a lot more flexibility for things such as unusually warm weather and one-time events such as storm damage or things like that occur. So with going between the 1.35 and 1.55, if it's approved by the commission, and we did get an order today setting up a schedule, and they say they should make a decision by July 28th, Arthur?
Yes.
Somewhere July. In there. So that gives us, I'm thinking, another $4 million per annual, per year in margins. So I think that is exactly what we're looking at to try to take care of this. As far as the variable portion, obviously 40% is in the fuel and purchase power area. And you can see in these results that with the reduced sales, you can see the reduction in fuel and purchase power. But it's that balance that's a lot tougher.
I understand what, you're addressing it by making an effort to increase revenue, which I agree is a major portion of the solution. But I also agree that figuring out some way to challenge some of the costs I would hope that there's some way to do it. I am not trying to be cheap. I'm not trying to be on the cheap. I just...
And I agree with you, and we have some long discussions around this table in October knowing we were going into fall with low numbers, we've taken an aggressive stance on cutting costs. And I think what you'll hear in executive session is I think we've made some improvements in that particular area. The other thing I would say is that is one of the one of the big reasons we are looking at the acquisition of MLMP is to reduce cost overall and have economies of scale with putting these two organizations together, as well as having a more diversified revenue stream. So I think both of those is really why we are looking at the acquisition.
Okay, I appreciate that. I really do. And I know we'll continue to be as diligent as we can. So press on. Thank you very much.
So
may I ask a question?
Director Crawford is your next up, Director Crawford.
Thank you. I just can't see everybody because I got to see the picture, the sheets.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing too.
Yeah.
So when I buy appliances for my rentals or for my personal use, I continue to buy more efficient appliances. I know that if I'm doing it, a lot of other people are doing it as well. I was wondering if maybe we might be underestimating the amount of savings that people are getting from using more efficient appliances and conserving their use of electricity. I'm sure you have a formula for your ratios and all, but maybe it...
Well, if you recall, we did kind of a study here in November, and what that study says, people are doing exactly as you're saying. They're continuing to invest in energy efficient appliances, and we will probably see a decline through 2026. Until that inflection starts to go back up again. So we are trying to take that into consideration. That's one of the reasons we did the study, to try to figure out what those downward pressures are. So I hope we're taking that into consideration in our conservative sales forecast.
Well, I know that I'm getting that. More choices now. Almost rare to see the older less efficient appliances, and I don't know, I feel like I'm saving more electricity use exponentially over the last year or two compared to what I've been doing over the last 5 years.
And I think what you will see is I think rates are going to creep up, but I think the bill to the customers ultimately will stay fairly flat, but it's going to be, because it's you're using less, it does drive, the unit price up.
Director Reeves?
Yeah, I would guess I would comment to Harry that was pretty stunning also in the survey, the number of people who've changed out appliances and changed out light bulbs. That was a big, high percentage. I don't have that in front of me right now, but it was like 70%. So that's your point is well taken. I was going to go back to the comparative financial report statement of operations. I don't, it's slide number 4, because it just seems like those numbers, 2017 actual margins, $3,800,000, 2018 actuals, $2,200,000. That's a big difference. Should I be concerned about that at all?
Well, that does show the difference between having a colder November and having a really warm November. I mean, certainly the impact of the weather in November did, impact those results. We certainly, for the last 5 years, and, specifically in 2017, we were coming in higher at that point in time year to date. So that the sales are impacting. But as I said, I will have some further updates in executive session that might help a little bit with that.
Great.
As well.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to think this coming in really.
Madam Chair, this is Harold. I have a question.
You're right after Director Moore.
Okay.
I think this coming in really quick, which is, building on both what I think Director Henderson said and Director Crawford said in looking at this sort of destructive demand curve in the business that we're in and the idea that maybe in Alaska we're going to hit a sweet spot where we need neither air conditioning nor heating,
and really be struggling. I think this is the new lines of business to think about, or the new things to think about, are some of the things that we have been looking into but have not really, I think, put the emphasis on, given everything else we have going on. And one of those is the electric car. I mean, I cannot think of a bigger sort of game changer in electric demand if it actually takes off and it's taking off in other communities. And I would really love, when we get a little more headspace, to see us really look at that as a potential game changer on our demand curve, because I think it really could be.
Very good point.
Director Hollis, and then Director Crawford. Director Hollis?
Yes. I just have a question regarding the revised forecast for year-end 2018. I notice the margin is still projected at $5 million. Do we have preliminary numbers for December? Are we going to achieve anywhere near that?
So I will be updating you in executive session. If that's okay, if you can hold your question, I'll give some updates on. I just have drafts, but I can talk about that in executive session.
That's fair enough. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Director Crawford?
And I just wanted to build on Director Morris's statement there about the electric cars. When we were in Switzerland and Germany, there were hundreds of people that we saw with electric bicycles, and we need to make that available in the downtown areas where people are biking to work during the now in the winter as well as the summer. Not so much as in the summer, but certainly it's a coming thing.
Yeah. Arthur's team's working on a bunch of that stuff, so we'll give it back out to you.
Okay, other comments? And we'll hear more in executive session on that. Thank you, Sharon.
This is Jim Henderson. May I ask one question, please?
Sure. Go ahead, Director.
I'd like to, when we were doing the survey of the personnel of the members, there were two questions. One, they said they talked to ask our members about their thoughts about MLP, and none of the members were MLP users. And I don't, since there's a lot of people that have two different homes, I would think that some of those questions probably had some validity. But the second thing that was so positive that I really enjoyed was this table that of ratings dating back to Good Grief 1995 that was included at the end. I thought that was really a nice presentation, even though it's not in graphs, but it does indicate things changing and cycling. I really appreciate whoever put that in. That was nice. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to director report.
Madam Chair, I just had one update on the MLMP meeting. And yesterday we met with the employees of MLMP. And as you're aware, we've been meeting with our employees on a quarterly basis and just kind of keeping them up to speed on what's going on. We tried to get one scheduled in December, and they just didn't have time. So this was our kind of our year-end wrap up. We kind of talked about the status of where we're at. Obviously, we've got all the agreements done. The paperwork's behind us now. We do the filing to the commission, and that's scheduled for April or March 8th. We also talked a little bit about getting the MLMP employees involved in March and putting all of our teams together to start working on the integration efforts. So I think it was an excellent meeting. We had, probably close to 200 employees. So they had great questions. I think we had some good feedback. And the most interesting question was they came up and said, can we meet your board of directors? We would really like to meet your board. And so I thought that was excellent. And so at some point we'll try to figure out how to get the board down to chat with the MLMP employees. I think it would be a great outreach, and maybe just talk a little bit about the co-op and what it means to you, and so maybe we can have some more discussion on that.
Yeah,
but so I'll open that up to the board. That concludes my CEO report.
Thank you. Now we'll go on to director report. But the first thing under that is an architect report. So who would like to give that architect report? Looks like maybe Lee or Brian or somebody? You guys?
I'll follow up whatever you...
I was on the phone during the meeting, and we have a confidential memo that talks about the kind of the highlights of the meeting, and there's probably some good stuff that we could talk about in executive session. I think some Brian will probably get to when we talk about the RRC, but it was really a whole discussion about where we're at with the RRC. And it seems to be somewhat stalled out with the commission, although I think Brian will have some.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hearing, not a hearing, but a public meeting today, and it sounds like they're giving a little more direction on where the commission's going. But I think it was really concerned that it's kind of stalled out with the commission. What is our next steps? So we talked about a couple different avenues of what next steps should be. Also, we had some feedback from REAP. As you recall earlier, REAP didn't want to be real involved because, in their opinion, the MOU was just a utility effort. I think they've since come around a bit. They have made comments on the MOU, and those comments are included in your packet. And I think they do want to become part of this effort. And so I think what Park Tech decided is it probably does makes sense to spend a little bit more time with REAP and the other stakeholders to try to get a consensus document that we can give that to and get it filed with the commission. And
Harry?
We also talked about, what it was kind of a 10-minute strategic planning that we talked about trying to continue to acquire Bradley Lake transmission lines that the state owns presently, and we've decided in the past that it'd be beneficial for RTEC to take control of those, and we haven't forgotten it. We've just kind of put it on hold lately, but we're going to continue, and especially now with the new administration, things might be different.
This is Jim.
Jim, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I thought the RTEC meeting was very well. I thought they were moving forward, and I was kind of pleased. I remember I started with them when you couldn't even get everybody in the same room, and they elected new officers the other day. They continued to push or try to stand up the RCC and all the issues that it wishes to do. They continue to address the Transco and the need to proceed along that line. They also address the issue of the Transco and a cooperative structure. REAP showed, I think there were some expressions and discussions between REAP and RTEC, and they brought more people. They got more participants and more interest. I really feel that RTEC has continued to move forward, maybe at a slower pace than some people would like to see, but I've seen it from when it was in a little bitty room, and not everybody could get in there, and a lot of people didn't want to be in there, to now people want to be in there. So I'm really pleased with the motion, the movement, and I wish to express that, so thank you.
Great. Anything else? Okay, and we'll hear some more. Okay. Moving on to REAP. Director Morse?
Sure.
Sure. So we've had a couple of meetings in January. They had an election, a board election, and election of officers. And if you get on the website, you can see kind of all was the same. They kind of did a status quo. I will say kudos again to Chief and to Brian for being present in some of our policy meetings and helping to sort of soften and explain and move forward those issues. I think Reef's interest in being involved is directly tied to having some access to look behind what they kind of consider the veil and understanding more about the utility, meeting personally with some of the leadership, I think was really helpful. And they have expressed, although I don't know when we're going to squeeze it in at some point, an interest in understanding more from Chugach about the issues between curtailing wind, grid stability, and how we work on our sustainable portfolio. They've asked for some speaker information and continued questions. So I think the challenge for us now in opening that door is kind of the best utilization of our staff. And I think Reef would take everything we could give them, but we'll be mindful of that. But I really appreciate the work that's been done there, and I was seated again on the policy committee.
Robert has a question.
I would like to know if REAP has spent any time discussing the proposition that Mike Kraft has made about this new wind farm and propane generation and battery combination. It's I think they said 15 megawatts that they're trying to bring online.
I haven't been in a meeting where that's been discussed, but I did miss the last policy meeting. So
okay.
You all mentioned it the last meeting.
Yeah, right. Come on. Yeah. There you go. Great.
I couldn't hear what you said.
It was mentioned at the last meeting. There wasn't much discussion on the topic, but I think it was new to a lot of people.
And that was at the board meeting, their last?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that it's come before policy yet.
I'd like to hear more from whence it comes. Maybe even have Mike Kraft tell us about it.
Yeah. Susan?
No, I just was waving at you. Sorry.
Oh, hi.
All I can see is you. Is there actually something on the screen?
No.
Oh, I can see
Stuart. So you can see both of us. And I just checked my phone because I can see your phone. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anything else on REAP? Okay. And you're up next, Director Morris, on audit and finance. Audit and finance has not met since the December 4th meeting, and our next meeting, I think, is on the board calendar for March 4th.
Okay. Great. How about operations?
Operations has not met since the last board meeting, and we are on the calendar for a meeting middle of February, and that's on the board calendar.
Okay. How about governance?
Hey. Okay, well, I did an extensive report on the governance committee on October 25. And there were three sort of hanging issues. I hope Tom is there. Is Tom Schulman
there? He is.
Would you invite him to the table?
Yeah. Please?
The two issues that we referred to Tom and to Matt were both related to amendments we wanted to propose to bylaws, and one was to tweak. And I really do say tweak. We'd like to just dynamite it, but we're going to just tweak it. The bylaw that applies to board qualifications. And what we had decided and discussed with the board after a long discussion of it was that we should eliminate the word permanently and unequivocally to modify residence in the board qualification. And then the second thing that we asked Tom to work on was to change meeting fees so that we got meeting fees we didn't change the cap on the number of meetings we could attend. So we were going to try to call, to try to authorize compensation for attending training and educational sessions, since those are so important to board productivity and efficiency, to try to have those not be compensated but not be meetings. And I know that Tom and Matt have talked about both of those issues, and that Tom has to present today proposed language for modifications to those two bylaw provisions. And I've seen them, and I look forward to hearing more about it from Tom.
Okay. It's not clear to me if you want to discuss that in an open session or an executive session. We do have some concerns.
Well,
we do have some concerns.
Probably, either way, it's on the is Matt there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt, do you think that this is qualifies for executive session discussion?
Is it something you recommend to the bylaws subcommittee and let them address it?
Well, I don't think so, because I think, don't we have to get this out pretty soon for consideration by the, well, we need to make a, the board needs to make a recommendation to the bylaws committee and make a recommendation. So what does Matt think?
So, yeah, given some of the discussion around the compensation revisions, probably better to have that one in executive session.
One other issue that we left on the table after October, and that was a board survey or a self-audit. And in October, the bylaws committee reported that we wanted to do a self-audit, but that we were going to wait until Rachel attended a meeting in January, and she was going to learn more about self-audits, and then we were going to do a self-audit form after that. So I think I might be able to shorten. If that's still true, and that hasn't already happened, we ought to probably just have people read what I've already provided on self-audit and defer actually presenting a recommendation until Rachel and I and whoever else is on the committee have had a chance to talk.
So
Rachel, did you go?
It's March, Susan. It's ahead of the annual meeting. Going in March.
So
yeah, and we're going to talk about that under the ops committee. There's an agenda item on here to talk about the board evaluation.
Right.
A little bit later.
But I don't know if we want to wait. We could defer that if we really want to wait till Rachel's had her training.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll talk about under.
Okay.
Yeah. Under item K of.
Okay.
Discussion.
Well, anyway, so we're just deferring all of this discussion.
Okay. Thank you on that. And other meeting reports? Were there other meetings?
Well, I'll report on the greenhouse gas stuff because that's really kind of cool. You know, I had talked to Emrica about the greenhouse gas emissions language, and we got the policy itself amended. And then Emrica looked at the policy background statement, and those of you who've read all of that and attended the ENRICA meetings, you know that the policy background statement went on for about 6 pages and just basically said that global warming was ridiculous and, you know, that utilities should get huge amounts of money for, you know, any effort at all to try to address greenhouse gas emissions. I mean, it went on for pages and pages and pages, and it trashed the clean air, clean power plan and all of that stuff. So now Enrica has reviewed all of that, and I've participated in several meetings, and now all of that's just going to be dropped out of the policy background statement, and it's essentially just going to say that Enrica is, you know, and its members are concerned about potential impacts on their operations from greenhouse gas emission national policies, and you know they want to make sure that they're part of the discussion, but it's totally innocuous at this point, which is it's very gratifying to see that the great old tanker is kind of turning a little bit. So
yeah, this is Jim, and I Susan and I have been pretty adamant in this area. I didn't know they dropped all that policy stuff. They really did, huh?
Well, they haven't done it yet, but that's going to be the recommendation from from the committee. So
we'll just have that first page, basically, that first couple, three paragraphs.
Right, right.
Very good, very good.
Right.
That's great.
That's all.
Anything to add on that? Any other report? Okay. Go ahead, Director Crawford.
So I attended a meeting that was sponsored by the IEEE Electrical Engineers last week, and they had a speaker there that's written several books on as a climate denier, a climate change denier. And he just left out so many pieces of information that weren't good for his argument that I thought that I just wasted 2 hours out of my life because he was making an argument that that none of this stuff was man-made. But we certainly see things like they say that Greenland's ice cap is melting 4 times faster over the last year than it has ever since they've been able to measure anything. And they've been able to measure a couple of thousand years worth of ice now by drilling down through the ice cap. So I think their arguments are really beginning to fail.
Was that Stephen Gorham?
That's the one.
Yeah. I saw him on
something
else last week.
Did you see him?
Yeah. Great extreme views, right? Sort of a extreme view, the extreme right side of the discussion.
All right, anything else? Okay. We will move along then. Unfinished business, there's none to be discussed. New business, we are going to talk about the appointment of the CFC voting delegate and alternate.
Take a really short break here at some point.
We will. Can we just get through these two things? And then we'll take a break. If that will work for you, Harry. Will that work? Okay. And then we'll go into executive session and take a break. Okay. CFC voting delegate.
This is Jim. I'd like to continue CFA voting delegate for CFC, please.
Okay. Madam Chair, I have a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Move that the Board of Directors appoint Jim Henderson as the CFC voting delegate and Susan Reeves as the alternate.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion? Say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. And the next item is Board Policy 502. Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors approve the attached update to Board Policy 502 to reflect the addition of the Employee Volunteer Program. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on that policy modification and the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously.
Aye.
Okay, I have just a couple pieces of just housekeeping before we go into executive session. I need Director Holland, Director Henderson, and Director Reeves to appoint someone to sign their expense report. If you could do that.
Tina, would you do that, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Director,
could you do that?
I can't because I sign as the treasurer, but thank you.
Okay.
Director Park, Director Crawford,
Yeah, Parks, please.
Okay. And then Director Hollis?
Yes, I would ask that one of the directors do that for me, please.
How about Director Parks? There we go.
That works.
Okay. Thank you for that. And we, with that, I think we'll go into executive session, and then we'll take a break.
Madam Chair, I move that pursuant to Alaska Statutes 10.25.175, B, 1, 2, and 3, the Board of Directors go into executive session to, number one, discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge which would clearly have an adverse impact on the finances of the cooperative. Number two, discuss personnel matters that tend to be to prejudice the reputation or character of a person. However, the person may request a public discussion. And number three, discuss with its attorneys legal matters, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor going into executive session, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
All right.
We are now in executive session. Good. Okay, we are back on the record. We are going to go to new business. Do I have a motion for postponement of the discussion on the IBEW labor agreement?
Madam Chair, I move that we postpone further action on the approval of the IBEW labor agreements until the next regularly scheduled board meeting.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, next up is to, I think we have a motion for the APA membership.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors approve reestablishing membership in the Alaska Power Association as discussed in executive session.
Second. Any further discussion on the APA membership? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. On to item C, financial matters.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors approve the financial matters essentially as discussed in the executive session.
Second.
Any further discussion on it, on the financial matters? All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. And we will go on to director comments. I'm going to take comments from those directors on the phone. First, Director Reeves.
This is just an observation. During the course of the meeting, my iPad was plugged in, and it went from 100% to 10%. That's about how I feel I went to. So it's been a long meeting, and I continue to appreciate being part of a board that does such serious and deep consideration of the issues, and I really appreciate the staff, Lee and his staff, bringing us the information that we need to get to do our job.
Thank you. Director Henderson?
My iPad went to 13%. and it's a few hours even later. Guys, I know everybody's working hard, and it's admirable. Please, we're all got a lot of challenges here, so we should all congratulate each other and all the staff on our efforts. We've all done more than most people would do, so we should be grateful for our strength. and our efforts. Maybe we should try to moderate the amount of information we try to put in a board meeting. We've had a few long ones, and maybe it'd help. So, hey, again, thanks a million for allowing me to be part of your group.
Thank you, Tim. Director Hollis? Director Hollis?
I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
It's after midnight here too. So, but I would second what Director Henderson, Director Reeves said. We do know staff management. You guys worked tremendously hard to get us information. I think that one of our challenges is we get so much information and we don't have all the backstory, the background that you have in preparing it. You know, I look 923 pages of information to go through for this board meeting. It is a lot, and you know, we do have questions, and so I appreciate the fact you bear with us, and you've been very professional and polite at doing that. We're just trying to do the best that we can and make the right decisions for our members. And, you know, we'll all get through this. We've come a long ways, and I appreciate the opportunity to be part of this team as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Director Hollis. Director Morris?
Sure. I still believe that we are part of, you know, the deal of our lives for Anchorage, South Central, and the Rail Belt. I mean, I think it's going to be huge. It is huge. And I feel grateful, excited, and terrified all at the same time for many hours. And I think, you know, we as a board feel like we've accommodated a pretty good clip of a schedule on decision-making. And you guys have responded well to the information that we have needed, and I think it's possible you're going to see a little pushback on the accelerated schedule and a little bit of feedback on you know, what we need to do our due diligence. So I hope we can get through that part as well as we kind of change up how it rolls. So thank you for accommodating us tonight.
Lots has already been said by some of the other board members, which I fully agree. This is a monumentous type of a deal. It's been planned for many, many years and never has got to this point. It's exciting to be part of this deal, and I know it's going to take a lot of hard work for Lee, all the staff, as well as all the board members to really finish it. So stay strong and keep moving forward.
Thank you. Lee, do you have any comments?
No, I really appreciate the patience of the board. These are heavy items. There's been a lot to go through tonight, and I think we'll just take a better look at stacking the board meetings. There gets to be too much on here, so I do appreciate, and not a problem at all, but moving some of this stuff out won't make it happen. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. And I do apologize. I appreciate all the hard work, the inordinate amount of effort. Oh, I'm sorry.
So, you know, this is, it happened when I was in the legislature, it happens here too, that we're touching people that are decades down. Many people that haven't even been born yet, we're responsible for because of what we do here. And I enjoy being a part of it and having some responsibility in those people's lives. And I think that we're doing doing some real good work here. And sure, there are frustrations along the way and reasons for terror. But all in all, I think what we do is for the best. I'm glad to be a part of it.
And I apologize, Harry, for missing you. Everybody has kind of said lots of good things. I totally appreciate the staff. I'm really sorry that we had to table some things for next time. I had a couple New Year's resolutions, and one of them this year was to try to manage these meetings a little bit better. I think that there's sort of a witching hour, and I think four-hour meetings is really kind of the max when we're talking about really heavy issues that need a lot of discussion, and I think we should use our committees maybe a little bit more to talk about things like, you know, the Aklutna things and just things that take more discussion. So you probably are going to see us sort of push back just a little bit more. So I would appreciate your patience as we try to work through this. And I really did think it was going to be a light agenda because the first draft was very light. So I added some stuff. And then you back added some stuff, too. So anyway, I apologize, but we're going to make some changes. And I appreciate all of your time and effort. With that, I will seek your motion to adjourn.
And move.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.